Hello and welcome to Talking Europe from the European Parliament in Brussels. As 2025 comes to a close, the European continent is facing the most pressing of problems: how to raise financial support for Ukraine, almost 4 years into Russia's full-blown invasion. Ukraine's financial resilience is eroding, and thanks to an unpredictable Trump administration questioning the cost of collective defence, Europe is now faced with shouldering the burden. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced this week that urgent measures were needed to fund Ukraine's enormous 135 billion budget hole for the next 2 years. This is Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is trying to reassure European partners in the face of a corruption scandal brewing at home and of Russian forces making gains in the east of the country. If no agreement is made among member states before the end of the year, it could have disastrous consequences. Von der Leyen stating that what plays out in Ukraine is fundamental to the country itself, as it is to the future of Europe as a whole. To talk about this, I'm joined by two MEPs, Katarína Roth-Nevidalová, a non-attached Slovakian MEP from Prime Minister Robert Fico's Smer party, kicked out of the party of European Socialists for being, in their words, too populist. Smer are currently in coalition with the far-right in Slovakia. And Urmas Pet, an MP from Estonia's Liberal Reform Party, part of a Renew Europe group and vice president of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the European Parliament. He has previously served as Estonia's Minister of Foreign Affairs. Thanks to both of you for coming to speak to us on France 24. Urmas Pet, I want to start with you. In the next 2 years, the EU is projected to contribute nearly as much as it has done over the last 4 years with the war in Ukraine. This increase we could directly call correlated to the return of President Donald Trump to the White House. Should the EU prepare for the fact that it can no longer rely on the United States when it comes to financing and providing weapons to Ukraine?
Obviously, Europe has to be in the position to give all support what is needed for Ukraine. And one remark, the war against Ukraine lasts already 11 years, not 4 years. And the damage caused by Russia in Ukraine, of course, is huge. Human losses, but also collapse of different kind of infrastructure, permanent bombings and so on. But short answer is yes, of course. Europe has to do everything to assist Ukraine. But it also means itself, ourselves in Europe. So no doubt of it.
And Katarína Roth, as I mentioned in introduction, Ursula von der Leyen has put forward three proposals on how to get this funding to support Ukraine by the end of the year. One proposal is quite controversial, and that is using about 185 billion euros of frozen Russian assets. And it's faced quite a lot of opposition from the likes of Belgium, where most of the assets are in fact located. And there's some fear of a Russian retaliation. I believe that your government is also quite opposed to this move. How so?
Yes, we are very much. Thank you for the invitation once again. Yes, we believe that we can support Ukraine with the means which we have, but the European Union doesn't have the money. We cannot still borrow and borrow more and more money because it's spiraling us as the economy as well. Specifically on this issue of the Russian assets, which are frozen now in mostly in the Belgian banks, I am very glad that Belgium is still trying to stop this decision, and they want to have the decisions of the European Union which would help them in the case of a possible future consequences from Russian Federation, because this can come. And I think that we should be also wise when we use or misuse the international law. And this is what we are planning to do. We know that this is not in the line with international law. We know that we were crossing the line also when we use the incentives from these Russian assets. Now we want to use the assets itself, and we know that this is breaking the law. So once when we want to talk about the international law, we also see what we are doing. We should see what we are doing, and we cannot just decide because we feel this is correct and this is good. We have to have a clear decision before doing something like this. And I think, and also my government, we feel that there should be more push also from the European Union side and also from Ursula von der Leyen and other people to say that we have to push for diplomatic discussions, for a diplomatic resolution of this war, and not just say that we will pay for everything, because what is the last point? How long we we would pay for that. We don't have this money in the EU. We already took loans because of the COVID-19, which we will start to pay. It's important to say that this only to repay this loan back to the international markets, we would need 10% of the European budget for the next 7 years. Every year we would pay 10% of the budget only for this repayment of the loan. So to take another loan, possibly, if we will use the Russian assets and we will back them as the European Union by our own money, it's not a very clever way. Now is finally the way to push for diplomatic solution, not for the money giving them.
Rumas Pech, your thoughts?
I fully disagree with this statement. Of course, Europe has to use frozen Russian assets to help to rebuild Ukraine, because the aggressor country Russia has to pay for the damage they caused in Ukraine, but also in other European countries. So that for me, it's obvious that we have to use Russian assets to assist Ukraine and to rebuild the country. Also after Second World War, lots of European countries got very quickly reparations from Germany. I don't see here any real difference. And we also should understand that it is not only Russian war against Ukraine. This is also Russian, okay, we call it hybrid war, but this is Russian hybrid war also against Europe. We should recall all those explosions just recently in Poland, but also in other European countries made by Russia. So that we should finally realize that Russia's target is not only Ukraine. The target is much, larger, I would put so. It's Europe. So that in this regard, also Europe finally has to forget all this wishful thinking and do what is necessary. Otherwise, the price tag in final end will be much, much higher. And this is not only about the money. It is also about human lives.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
I disagree very much with what you said, because between the Second World War and today, it's 80 years, and there is a huge difference.
But aggressor
first,
is first, the same.
No. First of all, it was after the war when this repatriation and this money was given back to these countries which were damaged by Germany. And there was the international court which decided about these things, an international community. Now we are still in the war. And we are deciding ourselves like we have all the might, which we don't have.
But we should first, because Russia is sitting in United Nations Security Council as permanent member.
So please listen to me now.
In this sense,
listen to me now.
Collapsing everything.
This is destabilizing our position in the international community, in international financial markets.
War
as the European
is destabilizing
Union, also,
Europe and our position.
Also, the
war
states which have these assets, like the Belgium, they know that this can really make a big troubles for them. The investors and the foreign countries can feel that we are not a secure place to store their money. They can withdraw. They can feel that if this is the breaking of the international law and we feel like this is okay, they can do something against our companies. And finally, there is the moment when we need to say stop, quiet, and please discuss the things and not just say that we will use whatever means. And when we use this asset, what we will do afterwards?
It has been discussed 3.5 years.
What will be afterwards?
3.5 years.
We will borrow what? We will take another money as the loans for the European Union.
So your solution is that we should do everything what Russia wants, you know?
My solution is to discuss and have a diplomatic
solution. We have discussed it 3.5 years. War is ongoing.
No,
every day people die in Ukraine.
We were not discussing.
Every day there are explosions in both Poland and other European countries. Point
disclosed. I would like to interject very quickly. Katarina Roj, I want to ask you a question, because as we know, Slovakian Prime Minister Robert Fico has advocated a bit more Russia-friendly foreign policy, refusing to finance arms for Ukraine. Am I correct?
No, this is
no
not
direct
correct.
Financing of weapons to Ukraine.
This is not correct. We are not. We don't have any Russian-friendly foreign policy. We have the foreign policy that we believe that we would like to live in peace with everybody. This war is threatening everybody, and is threatening mostly the people and the countries in the eastern part of the European Union, because we are also, there are a lot of refugees coming from Ukraine. There are a lot of people who are coming, and there are a lot of other threats which are coming with this.
But just to say that Slovakia doesn't take part in an EU collective defence agenda.
No.
Am I correct?
Yes, we don't. We support Ukraine with humanitarian aid, with any other means. We support them with experts. We also, we are the only country in European Union, despite the fact that they are saying that we are whatever. We are the only one sitting regularly between the governments of Ukraine and Slovakia, having common projects on the borders, try to help the people and have a lot of investments and discussions about the common future projects which can help also Ukraine joining the European Union. Because there are people who say, like, we will support them, blah, blah, blah. We don't support the militarization cooperation, and we do support the weapons for Ukraine, but we give them another means, which are like for protecting its unmining services and special vehicles. So this is what we are giving to them, but we don't provide guns because we don't believe that this is the way how to end the war. We believe that it's only the peacekeeping process, it's only diplomacy and only discussion how it should end.
So I just want to add that, of course, not part of the EU collective defence agenda, but at the same time, there are statistics showing that Slovakia's arms exports actually grew.
Yes.
About 1.5 billion euros last year, notably to weapon sales to Ukraine. That's what I want to get my head around is... Why not take part in a collective EU agenda?
No, because we don't believe that this is how we should do that. And also we had a previous government, which was not ours, which gave all the possible means which we had, which was protecting the country. They gave it to Ukraine, so we were left without any protection. We have nuclear power plants in Slovakia, and they were not protected, so we are now relying on the protection from different other countries surrounding Slovakia. So this was a very bad decision. We don't believe in guns, but what you say, what you describe, is the private companies which we have, which is the arm industry in Slovakia, which is quite profitable, we have to say that, which is selling, but it's the private companies, not the state.
I want to get back to the deal, the historic deal that was struck between France and Ukraine just this week to buy 100 warplanes, and that follows on from a deal with Sweden for 150 Gripen E jets. Is it too little too late that Europe has finally stepped up to the plate and has offered to sell their greatest and their best weaponry to Ukraine?
Well, I'm glad that this finally is happening, but of course it's late because there has been too long time hesitation and no decisions. But well, if it's now finally happening, well, of course it's positive, because if you have on the one hand aggressor country with heavy armament, with big army, and then you say that, well, we will support Ukraine maybe also with some humanitarian, you know, stuff, then we know what is the end of this story. So that, unfortunately, we have seen also in the recent history that the Russian regime, Putin's regime, understands only power. And the problem has been that Western democracies have been too weak, too long time. That's why happened the Russian invasion against Georgia. That's why already 11 years ago they attacked Ukraine. They did it again 3.5 years ago. They feel free to do different attacks in different countries in Europe. I guess the only solution is that Putin's regime should finally understand that West is not weak anymore.
We've come to the end of the show, and I want to thank both my guests today for coming to speak to us on France 24, Katerina Roth-Nevidilova and Urmaz Payet. Thank you so much for speaking to us. And for our viewers at home, thanks for watching. There's more news coming up on France 24 after this.
Thank you very much.